Joining us now is Professor Hamid Debashi, professor of Iranian studies at Columbia University, to talk about this story over the weekend. A suicide bomber killed at least 42 people in Iran near the Pakistani border, including five senior commanders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the deadliest attack against this elite unit since February 2007. Professor Debashi, good morning.
Good morning, John.
First of all, the early reports suggest this is a faction of Sunni Islam versus the predominantly Shiite power structure inside Iran. Can you describe to us what is the history of Sunni Shia tensions in Iran? We're certainly much more familiar with that in Iraq.
Well, the origin of it, John, is quite old. It goes back to 16th century when, under the Safavid Empire, Shiism becomes official state religion. And there is either massive conversion from Sunnism to Shiism, or else some Iranian Sunnis just move out, go to Mughal India. But it's now ancient history. What you have today is 95% of Iran are Shiis. And there are small Sunni minorities, some of them in this particular province, southeastern Iran, in Sistan and Balochistan, and also some other minorities, for example, in Kurdistan in the west. There is this army, which is called a terrorist organization, guerrilla operation, depends how you look at them.
Jundallah, right? This is the Jundallah group?
Jundallah, the right. Army of God, they right. call themselves. And they have been quite active in southeastern Iran. Reports are that they might be connected to some elements in Pakistan, as Ahmadinejad said yesterday. And there are also reports that they might have been connected to other separatist movements. But the origin of them is quite old, and the overwhelming majority of people in Sistan and Balochistan are Sunnis. They have also lived in peace in the
right.
past. Now, this is quite a new phenomenon.
Well, the interesting part is that the history goes back so long that it would be hard to imagine that these Sunni groups have a particular political mission inside Iran. I'm wondering if the way to analyze this is that the instability of the Ahmadinejad government has created an opportunity for groups like this to attack.
That's an excellent point, John, quite so. But the origin of these sorts of separatist movements go back. And in fact, the Speaker of the House immediately blamed the United States for this. And this may refer back to a comment made by Congresswoman Jane Harman made back in March about there are minorities in Iran and that the United States in so far as the question of nuclear arms is concerned, has to put pressure on Iran by way of precisely these sorts of separatist movements.
And there is precedent for that. I mean, the U.S. has supported separatist groups and various sort of ethnic minorities inside Iran
very
at various points.
So. Yeah. Very much so. And then, again, back in July, Congresswoman Dana Rohrabacher, in a congressional hearing, again insisted that there should be covert operations. So they are not completely conspiratorial, Iranians, when referred to American involvement. But your point about the lack of stability of Ahmadinejad and even legitimacy, because there are millions of Iranians who believe this past presidential election was flawed, is a key factor in these sorts of movement. And in fact, this could have a very chilling effect on that movement, because right now, the leading conservative newspapers in Tehran are also blaming Israel, which is a key signal that they're going to crack down on oppositional movements that they always accuse of having connection with Israel.
On some level, is it possible that this is a test of the point the finger at the great Satan, whether it is Britain, whether it's the U.S., whether it is Israel, a test of the credibility of that argument with the Iranian people right now?
Well, the test of that argument, John, was back in after the presidential election, that this so-called Velvet Revolution was also attributed to Americans. But to the best of my knowledge and judgment, that doesn't wash anymore. That is, you have had a mass inbred and grassroots civil rights movement in Iran. 80% of the Iranian population is under the age of 40, 70% under the age of 30. They simply don't buy that anymore. So the problem that they have on their hand is more serious. But these sorts of agitations that happen around Iran, that nobody knows who is responsible for them. The Jundullah has not officially accepted responsibility. It is the official Iranian news organizations that say. So, but a number of, as you said in your beginning, there is the number of quite high-ranking Pasdaran Iranian militia that have been killed in this. So the situation is quite intense, particularly in the last comments that Ahmadinejad said that Pakistan may have had something to do with this. And given the chaos that is now happening in northern Pakistan because of President Obama's pressure on Pakistan to root out the Taliban, this could be an ominous sign of the extension of that sort of a Talibanization of northern Pakistan into eastern Iran, which means even more trouble.
Professor Dabashi, you said that the electorate, the people of Iran, aren't buying it when they blame it on the U.S., Britain, and pretty much most of the Western countries. Well, I think people were surprised at how sophisticated they were in the protests in the last election. Do we think that this sophisticated electorate is going to buy into terrorist attacks against the government as a form of protest?
Absolutely not. In fact, I've been monitoring the press over the last 24 hours, and the right-wing press, the press connected with the government, is drumming it up like there is no tomorrow, and in fact, the reformist press that is not mentioning a single item about what happened in Sistan and Balochistan.
Well, that's interesting.
And they're very busy getting ready for a mass rally on 5th of November, which is called the Day of the Student, and as if nothing has happened in Balochistan.
Well, plenty of takeaways there. The suggestion of a Talibanization of the entire South Asia, from Iran all the way to Afghanistan. Professor Hamid Dabashi, professor of Iranian studies at Columbia University, talking about the aftermath in Iran of a suicide bombing over the weekend that killed 42.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.